Remember, if anyone asks, we're a nice, normal talk show. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Who was it? Remind me, it was the feminist. It was angry women. Who was it that killed off chivalry in men, gentility in men? Who was it that said men holding the doors for women was insulting? Who was it that said men who believed that it was their job to try to provide for their families, including their wives, was some kind of a sexist gambit? Who was it that said the beautiful old custom of having men take off their hats when a woman was present or to stand when a woman entered the room? Who called that vestiges of patriarchy? So you basically, at the one hand, feminists, you destroyed every impulse in genuine masculinity to be nurturing, to be kind, to be protective, to be provisional. You called all traditional classy male values, you called them sexist. All that then left in your arsenal was the handful of bad men who do bad things. Meanwhile, you, on the feminine side, are 100% exempted from the consequences of what you did to chivalrous men, to thoughtful men, to providing men. You drove them away. It was you who said that women don't need fathers in the household. It was you who said men have no say in the life of the babies they conceive with you. You can abort them at will. It was you, feminists, who downgraded every aspect of our military and our police, where men and our fire departments, where men primarily stand tall and brave. You said that that was toxic masculinity. And now you come back at us after you've stripped men of every responsibility that they willingly took upon themselves, and you condemn them for that because they're not the kind of men you say they should be. That is the seat of hypocrisy.
Hi there, welcome, Kate Daly Show. I am so glad you're listening in today because I have a special treat for you on this Friday. You know, I like to shake things up a little bit, and I can, if I had to talk about politics and the election 24/7, I think I would literally want to jump off a bridge because I just can't do it. And I have to be able to talk about other things that are going on. And right now, we have such a world of hurt going on with our families and women. The role of women has become front and center with Kamala Harris. And sleeping her way to the top, how wonderful. And for her. And all of this, all of the things that are going on, what is at the heart of it? With Ruth Bader Ginsburg, now we're filling Supreme Court with Amy Coney Barrett, and you have Ruth Bader Ginsburg being heralded as some supreme goddess of the universe, Mother Teresa now. And there's so many problems and issues with that alone. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that. What I do want to talk about in today's show is how can we educate in the role of women and men and restore some of the things we've lost, some of the big cultural changes, the social changes, all of the things that are at the heart of the family, womanhood. You know, I'm an anti-feminist. I'm that way for a reason, and you're about to find out why. And also, I have a fabulous guest with me, and I'm really excited. Teacher, educator, just amazing guy. just amazing guy. Rule Heyman, how are you?
I am doing well, Kate. Good to be here.
I'm excited to have you because talk about a wealth of knowledge. This guy and I could talk for days. I mean, without stopping for a breath. So I hope you enjoy today's conversation. In fact, you're going to walk away learning so much. I really do hope our youth hear this. Our little kids need to hear this. We are about to talk about something so taboo that you can't even teach it in public school. You can't even teach this in public school. You could not even approach the subject because of, oh, I'm offended. I'm so offended. You know what? I am an anti-feminist. I am a proud anti-feminist. I believe in the roles of women and men. I believe that that I absolutely love that my husband is the head of my home. I love that. That is his role. My role differs from him. And guess what? I really like that about our situation. Now, people that meet me know I'm a really strong personality, okay? Probably more A-type than I realize or want to admit. But guess what? People think, well, I just rule the roost and I'm all about women power. I got this career. That's not true at all. That is not true about me at all. If you get to know me, that is not me. Do you know that the one thing that makes my family tick that I learned that I really needed to do, because I used to do it, and when I got this career, it got more challenging. If I make dinner at night and serve my family in that way, things go well, they go well. There's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. And let me just tell you, when I don't, it kind of gets to the heart of my family. It's like that root source of simplest thing in the world, right? I make dinner for my family, and I love making dinner. Actually, I really do. I love being in the kitchen. I don't do that because I'm a slave. I do that out of love because I love them. That's how I'm showing them love. And so when I talk about that, it means I have figured out what works in my family, and that works in my family. Your family might be different, but I'm telling you, there's something to that love and service that we're going to be talking about. I'm so grateful that you're on the show with me today.
It is really good to be here.
You know, we have a lot to talk about with the UN, their goals for your family, how they seek to achieve that. It's monstrous. It's evil to me. And also the role of women. You have seen the role of women change.
I have. Well, I was raised in quite a traditional home,
mm-hmm.
but my parents, for whatever reason, had a hard time being together.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the great sorrows of my life is to realize that my mother and my father, but we're talking about women. I'll talk about my mother, how she never knew what it was like to be loved by a man.
Wow.
In a way that was long lasting, that was, that right. helped her to, I mean, we all come into marriage with baggage. We all come into marriage with challenges, with weakness and so forth. And I think God put marriage in place so men and women could come together and struggle together,
commit.
Love together, commit,
mm-hmm.
and ultimately and experience a level of joy that is available. So there are days when I'm washing the dishes,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I love to cook.
Right.
I love to be in the kitchen. My wife doesn't necessarily like that. So whatever I like to do, it makes her happy because my mm-hmm. greatest joy is when she is happy. But there'll be times when I'm in the kitchen washing dishes and pondering my own parents' relationship and realize they never achieved what was possible in marriage because they did not commit. Now, my mother committed,
mm-hmm.
but my father struggled with that.
Mm. You know, what you said was pretty key too in just what makes somebody else happy. That's what you want to do.
Oh,
you
exactly.
you want to make sure and get that accomplished. And that's what we're talking about here. There's certain things that men bring to the table and women bring to the table that I think are kind of universal,
right.
and that are also individual.
Right.
And so for me, when I do the very simple thing of just making my family dinner at night, it seems to just fulfill a need.
Right.
In my own family, that for some reason, that's what just makes us tick, right? Mm-hmm. That's just what everything goes smoother. Everything's just better. That might not be the case in every family, but it is in mine. But you know what? That is a role that I traditionally love, and I'm glad that I get to bear the children.
Yeah.
My husband would not want to do that, right?
No, my wife, we have 7 children,
yeah.
and so I'm very grateful that she...
Mm-hmm. Yes,
she,
7
she
kids,
children.
Right? Yeah. 7 mm-hmm. kids, bravo. I bravo that. And so if you're listening, what we want to do is we want to center on why those roles changed, why they are so, there's such an importance to them because we have changed our culture in so many different ways because of what started going on in the Ruth Bader Ginsburg career drive with her fellow ACLU and the Women's Liberation Movement. It changed us completely.
It did. In fact, we're going to be talking about an address that was given at the World Congress of Families during this time by Bruce Hafen. Go ahead.
It's one of the most powerful speeches I've ever heard, and that's saying something because I've read a lot of speeches.
Right, and see, Bruce Hafen was at the time. He's been a dean of a law school,
right.
quite an impressive background. His knowledge and so forth. But in the address, and we're talking about what happened and what changed. He quotes a woman named Patricia Holland saying, "If I wanted to destroy society, I would launch an all-out blitz on women."
Whoa!
Does
that happen?
Now wait a second. What does Mrs. Holland mean? What do they know that we don't know? What is it that women bring to society? And I love it. It continues. He writes this: women and women share all the common traits of human nature and often perform the same tasks, but some of their strengths are gender specific. and we are losing what women have traditionally contributed to cultural cohesiveness. Now, listen to that. Cultural cohesiveness, like the mortar that keeps a brick wall from toppling over. Now, this is Bruce Hafen speaking. Women have held together our most precious relationships, our marriages, and our parent-child ties. But now that we're seeing cracks in that mortar, it reveals some things we have too long taken for granted.
Oh, man. That's powerful.
I mean, all strong nations are strong when families are whole and healthy. Now, families aren't perfect. We recognize that. But when moms and dads and babies are allowed to grow and progress in a state of general peace and love and harmony and support. And I realize that's not everyone's experience. That wasn't my experience growing up. But I love the ideal. I love to think that I don't have to be like my father. I don't have to act like he did. I can find a way. Of course. And that's the beauty of it.
But
we've come to a place where we are now seeing the cracks. And it's like people are putting their fingers in the dike, holding back the breakdown of the dam. And we need to do something quickly because the solution is there. We know what the solution is.
Right. You know, here we've had this COVID year of all these restrictions, and we're fighting for our liberty. I'm fighting for my liberty so that I can have and work on the family I want too. So what's the good of restoring this country if the family's the foundation and that falls apart and we don't have it?
Exactly.
What are we going to do? And so, Rule is just, he's just an amazing teacher as well. And these are things you used to be able to talk about. I mean, these are things in this classroom they could have talked about years ago, but they don't know.
Well, it's difficult because again, there are so many messages out there that take us away from the simple joys that come from family. We're taught that there's another way to find happiness. We're taught that by going outside of what I believe to be God-given, you know, and every family is a little bit different.
Sure.
I mean, you like to cooking for your family. I love it when my wife cooks for me. She's a good cook, but she likes it when I cook too. It makes her really, really happy because she has other things she'd rather be doing there.
Sure.
And plus, I love it. I'm not even sure what my thought process there was, but we know the solution right now. Mm-hmm. I was looking at an example here, and Bruce Hafen talks about the role that mothers play, and he says a salesman's walking down the street, and he walks past a group of boys playing baseball, so he goes and knocks at a door, and no one answers.
Mm-hmm.
Through a side door, he saw a little boy about the age of those playing in the street, dutifully practicing the piano. Baseball gear leaned against the wall. He called out, "Excuse me, sonny, is your mother home?" And the boy glanced at the baseball gear and said glumly from the keyboard, "What do you think?
What do you think? I'm playing
mothers
the piano.
Hold
I'm
the not home. Mothers hold
You're right.
society.
Be right back.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
The product that you have given me here is, as far as I'm concerned, sent to me from heaven. I love it a great deal. It's hard to find anything that's real nowadays. I enjoy it immensely. It's making my life so much better. I feel so much better. And during this pandemic, I have no worries whatsoever. My immune system has got to be at a top-notch level. I don't seem to get colds or anything. I don't know what getting sick is anymore. This is so cool.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
The purpose of a man.
Glad you're joining us. I've got a great guest in the show today, and we're going to be hitting this pretty hard because I think that women really need to understand what they need to teach their daughters. And we have gone and strayed so far away in the last 40 years of our role. You know, we're vying so hard to be men that we've sort of lost what makes us special. And you know, like I've said before on the show many times, you don't see men on the corner with signs going, life will stop for me and I'm not doing anything until I can become pregnant. You don't see that. Why? Because men know A, they would never fight for that. And B, even if they could, they would never fight for that. And they under, I think men actually understand our two different roles better than women. And I think women have kind of gone under this, they've been sold this box of rocks. And right now we're seeing a lot of the women power, the girl power on everything. And it really bothers me. Every time I see a t-shirt, I have Rule Hammond with me today, teacher, educator, amazing person, and just a wealth of information. And let me tell you, when I see those girl power shirts and it's all about the girl and the girl saves the world in the movies and the girl is all powerful, and it, we've confused what power is. We don't know what that is anymore. And so power to us is taking over roles that aren't ours and trying to attain it. And guess what? We're not very good at it.
Right.
Right. Because there's a reason for that. But what is power? Because I'm not saying don't be a strong person. No. I'm saying you don't need to be a man. And we have switched these gender roles, and now men are just, they're just becoming, what?
Well,
how would you describe it?
What we're seeing, though, is because men are confused about their role, they're becoming angry. And we're going to see, we're seeing, I actually, it's interesting, I just finished a 40-hour training to become a rape crisis mm-hmm. advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So I will be, I'll have a shift each month right. where I'll take crisis calls and so forth. And it breaks my heart to see how much men don't understand
right.
their role and how they should treat women. I mean, ultimately the concept of chivalry, the concept mm-hmm. of husbands honoring their wives,
right.
men protecting women.
Right.
And seeing it as their responsibility. But just as you, it was playing in your, one of your intros with, mm-hmm. with a co-host.
Oh, Dr. Pesta.
The fact that women can get upset when a man is not attempting to say, you're weaker than me, you're less than me. No, I honor you.
Right.
Because of the traditional role that,
right.
in fact, you go to most nations in the world. Mm-hmm. I travel the world. I run a small charity where I do humanitarian work all over the world. And for the most part, they don't understand why there's such an issue between the genders here and why we're trying to change what nature.
Right.
The only way to bring children into the world, to bring children up to be, you know, happy, adjusted mm-hmm. human mm-hmm. beings is through a loving husband and wife relationship.
Right. Oh, so true. And the UN right now, their idea of family is radical feminism. Oh boy.
Yeah.
And forcefully so. So this isn't something you choose. This is something that they are going to give you under the guise of being something good. It is not. And they, of course, this is what they've embraced because they've been behind this movement too.
But the sad thing is as we see the misinformation about the happy, mm-hmm. happy side of the different roles that men and women play.
Right.
We're going to see women and children suffer the most from it.
Yes.
Because ultimately we will see, you know, the survival of the fittest mentality starts to take place.
Right.
And generally men are stronger than women and children.
Yes.
And when they lose that desire to protect, that innate, I believe it's an innate desire in mm-hmm. most men.
Right.
In fact, all men, unless they absolutely crush it by foolish behavior, their desire and they have a need to protect women. And if that is not allowed, if that is
right.
if they become, you know, they're shamed for having those desires, then it turns to anger.
Wow. You know, one thing that this article by Bruce Hafen, who gave this wonderful speech at that, it was the World
Congress of Families in Geneva, mm-hmm. Switzerland in 1999.
Wow. Was the fact that a child is an echo chamber, and that British researchers were very, very stunned by this certain case of two kids killing another, like a two-year-old child. And they found that a child's ethical sense emerges emotionally long before it emerges rationally, says Bruce. And it was the orientation of a child's conscience begins with its earliest relationship with its mother. A child is an echo chamber, and if they hear the sound of love from the mother, they're going to later speak those same sounds of love to others. But if a mother's signals, if the mother's signals are confusing and hateful, the child will later feel confused and hateful. When a mother feels support from her husband, family, society, that influences whether she feels like a mother of hope, who values herself enough to nurture a child of hope. with that milk of human kindness, if you will. So the children of hope create a society of hope. It's amazing how this works, right?
And it starts in the womb. It begins in the womb.
And we're so centered on, I have to have it all. I have to have the career. I have to have the family. And I'm going to leave these children and I'm going to go off and somebody else is going to raise them. And I'm going to go off and do what I want to do because I have to feel fulfilled. I'll tell you what, some ball will drop. You won't do everything perfectly. Right. Something will fail. And it's usually going to be probably the family more. You're going to spend a little bit more time at work. I'm not saying don't work. I'm saying, what are the priorities here? And when your children are little. And there was a wonderful story about Australia. What happened in Australia to showcase what we're talking about as that sort of, when you were talking about the mortar that right. binds the bricks together and how important womanhood is, the art of womanhood. You might want to tell this because I thought this was so amazing.
This is one of my favorite stories.
Oh my gosh.
And so again, it's a true story from Australian history, and it illustrates the power of women's moral influence as mothers of hope. We talked about hope, women of fidelity, wives of commitment, and nurturers of human ties. So you're looking at the British colony, which was Australia, vast wilderness. It was designated basically for convicts. If you were bad, pickpockets, prostitutes, theft.
That's why
murder,
they called it Down Under.
they sent them down under.
Right.
And ultimately, you know, six of every seven who were down under were men. And again, without women in a society, there's very little chance for civilization. And so the women that were there were usually social outcasts themselves, and the men took advantage of them. With very few exceptions, these women without hope were powerless to change their conditions.
Right. And they sent down the women that just, let's just say they were loose. And so they had your male convicts, you had your male,
they were loose because they did not know their value.
Right.
I've had relatives myself that have made major mistakes as a teenager, young person, because they were looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
And that goes back to the relationship with fathers. We won't get into that here. But even a relationship with mothers, you have to have strong ties to parents to believe that you have value so you can say no. Mm-hmm. So you can say I'm better than that. But anyway, a woman named in about 1840, a woman named Caroline Chisholm, she urged that women would stabilize the culture if they could bring good women down into Australia. So she told the British government the best way to establish a community of, quote, great and good people in Australia would be to get women down there. This is
good
her quote.
Women, noble
good women.
Women.
Now, listen to what she says here. For all the clergy you can dispatch, all the schoolmasters you can appoint, all the churches you can build, and all the books you can export will never do much good without God's police, wives and little children, good and virtuous women. Now, let me explain the definition of virtue here. One of my favorite definitions. When we think of virtue, we talk about, you know, it's if you can see, basically allowing people to see what you do when no one else is around.
Right.
It's moral behavior and so forth. But there's a concept of public virtue. Virtue is voluntary obedience to truth, and it's also fulfilling the measure of your creation.
Right.
So my phone has virtue as long as it's fulfilling its purpose. When it dies and wasn't working anymore, I throw it away. Women, mothers, good women, have an uncanny ability to keep virtue garnishing their thoughts. Meaning when I'm in Africa, I was in Africa years ago in Ghana, and my friend Percy Gogo, he said, in the African way, when they think of the marriage relationship, is the man is out there with a machete and he's cutting through the bush, and the woman is behind him and saying, okay, a little bit to the right. No, not a little bit to the left. Now keep going straight.
Right.
Because women really are the moral compasses. They have been traditionally, and they still are. Mm-hmm. I told my students one time, you know, when we think about how in majority rule versus minority rule in government, and if the majority is always, you know, is relatively good, then a nation can be relatively free. If the majority ever loses that, we'll have problems. But I said, do you think, you know, we think of democracy or republic, you think of the voice of the people. If the majority of the voice of the people is good, half being women, do you think we're in a good place? Well, yeah. Because I said, if half of the majority are female, meaning mothers, mm-hmm. your mom, right, your sisters, your grandmothers, do you think they'll deceive you? Oh, no. Is your mother a virtuous person? Oh, yes. Does your mother want the best for you? Oh, then we are in good hands as long as there are virtuous and good women. And this is what Caroline Chisholm said. We can turn around an entire nation just by interjecting women and children to go down there and basically change the whole face of the society.
So she recruited people for like 20, 30 years.
She did. She did.
Sent them down there. And what did it do?
These women tamed the men who were taming the wild land, and civil society in Australia gradually emerged. Also, the colonial governments enacted policies that elevated women's status and reinforced family life. As one historian said, the initial reluctance of the wild colonial boys to marry was eroded fairly quickly. Eventually, thousands of immigrants who shared this vision of good and virtuous women established stable families as the most basic unit of Australian society more quickly than had occurred anywhere else in the Western world.
Oh my gosh. It's such a fantastic illustration of what we're talking about, because I think when women are women and they're at the best of that creation, it can do amazing things. And this author that gave this speech went on to talk about the core of the connection of the female predisposition of the family. The core is secure. A wife stands at the center of the moral gravity for her family's universe. She holds her husband close with that gravitational pull. Mm. And when he strays too far, she will no longer hear, you know, her voice, and she calls him home. And what's amazing about this is he goes on to talk about the fact that the women control the sex. The women control these certain things that kept the men in check, right? And would also kind of be the that sort of component in the family. And so when the woman was there and the woman was in that role of being that woman, it was like a falcon to the falconer.
Exactly.
And it just kind of gave that sort of gravitational pull to the family to have her in that center of that. But then we find now that women and that she's competing, that men feel like they have to play second fiddle to the mom, that they feel like their role is way down here because the mom is now everything calling the shots, and we have now changed that gravitational pull. We've kind of thrown it off balance.
Well, and what happens too is, I agree, we have a situation now where there are, by the way, we need to realize there are great men and women out there. There are men that honor women.
Yes.
There are men that open the door for women. There are men that would die in defense of a woman's honor and virtue.
And there are women that want a man to open the door.
Exactly. They
We're
do.
Gonna come right
and
back.
And they're grateful for that.
We're going to come right back. We have so much more. Stay with us.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
The purpose of a man is to love all. Hi there, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. So glad you're listening from all over the globe, from California to New York, Canada, and in, I think, over 30 countries listening live right now. Thank you. Really appreciate you doing that. And over 1.4 million listens on just the podcast alone. That is so cool. Thank you for that. Share. We need to educate America. Also, go to katedalyradio.com. Get those podcasts. This will be up on podcast too. Our youth really need to hear this. And if you don't get the next hour on podcast or on your live station, make sure you get it on podcast too, because we're going to be continuing this conversation. There's just so much to hit today on this. Make sure you go to Balance of Nature. Balanceofnature.com is a food supplement. 31 fruits and vegetables. 31. I know you're not going to eat 31 today. I just know it. And like I always say, that tomato on your burger doesn't count. That's just one little tiny slice of tomato. So you've got to have more fruits and vegetables in your diet. And I love this product. You'll love this product too. Promise me. I promise. It's an amazing product. Put the code KATE, K-A-T-E. You'll get 35% off and free shipping today. And you'll get a free health coach. There's just nothing like this. You'll notice it about week to 2 weeks. And then you'll thank me, because it really is good. And I would actually get extra. I'd have extra on hand if I were you. So I'm here with Reuel Haymond, and I'm so happy you're with me because what a wealth of knowledge he is on so many subjects. But on this subject today, I wanted him on board with this subject in particular because we could talk about global dynamics, the world, you name it. He's pretty much got it covered. But let me tell you, we're talking about the role of family and men and women because we've changed so much in the last 40 years. We need to identify what those changes are and how they're hurting our youth and what they're doing to our youth. How our youth feels about men and women, the objectification, thank you, of women that's going on right now, the porn industry, it's out of control. We've got men not knowing even whether to open a door anymore. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen. And we are switching up these roles and we're confusing kids and we're confusing girls and we're confusing them and we're making motherhood seem like second fiddle. Oh my gosh, don't do that. And you don't need to. That's not fulfillment. Oh my gosh. It drives me nuts because I'm an anti-feminist. I can't understand why we're headed in this direction. And so we're going to be talking about this. Let me come back to these two roles because this is so important. In this speech that was given for families, it said strong mothers build secure homes. Fathers and fathers' sons maintain secure neighborhoods. Very interesting to listen to that. Very interesting. You know, it's kind of like the protector or the provider for kind of difference. You know, it's making sure that we realize that ideally mothers first nurture children's feelings about right and wrong, says Bruce Hafen. Then fathers teach them the law of the family and community. So mothers teach the feelings about right and wrong. The fathers set down the law of the family and community. This places fathers and other men into disciplinary roles that teach sons with kind of this loving firmness to separate psychologically from their mothers when they internalize all the community norms within their own conscience. So this is the process young men transform their aggression and resentment of authority into a conscience-based sense of duty to protect and provide for their family and community. Then they form their own homes as mature husbands rather than childishly needing wives who behave like mothers. Because that's kind of what's gone, the momager, you know?
Right. Or even worse, where they seek out women just for their own pleasure. Because they don't understand their role, a woman's role, or their role in helping to civilize a society.
Right. And if you demasculate the man, he goes off looking for something else.
He does.
They don't want to feel like that.
And he'll find it. He'll find it. We see people, men in particular, escaping in droves to video games. Not the video games are all wrong.
Right.
But there are many that they look for from pornography, anything outside of responsibility and commitment.
Right. Bruce Hafen goes on to say that the distressed about a radical feminist criticism of male authority in this kind of long-standing pattern, that criticism has undermined the masculine role, relegating the fathers to being second-fiddle mothers. They feel like a second-fiddle mother because the mother just gets to call all the shots. How sad is that?
But what's really sad, again, he says this and we're seeing this bear out in society.
Yeah.
When this happens, men tragically turn their aggression against women and the community, becoming the enemy of their families instead of the providers and protectors.
Oh, ouch.
Wow, that's not what we want.
Right. So radical feminism is changing so many other things than what you think it is. So there are women out there that go, well, I just wanted my equal this and my equal that, and I want to be the top dog, and I wanted equal pay. It's so much more than that. It's the domino effect of what we're creating while we're creating these new roles. And these girls are said, you know, the mothers say to these girls, you know, you're powerful, you're powerful, you're powerful, every 5 seconds to them. And I'm going, that's not the kind of power. In their minds, they're conceiving maybe a different kind of power. It's very interesting. Strong, and then to be the powerhouse of the family. I love that my husband is the head of our home. He's the head of our home for a reason. That's his role. That's what he is naturally, instinctively good at, right? Why do I want to take that role from him? Why don't I support him in his role so he can be the best he can be? He supports me in my role so I can be the best mother I can be. Right. That's how it's supposed to work.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And I love the fact that, you know, my wife has, we have 7 children. She's been raising and nurturing for almost 30 years now.
Jeez.
And
that's wonderful.
But I love the fact that I watch her in her role. And I honor her there. I remember there was a study done. In fact, it was a good friend of mine who's a school administrator, that very wise woman. And she showed me a study that said that basically 80% of divorces could be eliminated, avoided, if men would listen to their wife's counsel. Again, if women are God's police, I think we ought to listen to them.
Right.
And the happiest homes are, again, when both agree on what the roles are.
And support each other.
And support each other in those.
Make each other the best in those roles.
Yep.
You were saying earlier about the babies, the way we hold babies.
Oh, yeah. It's fascinating. There was actually, oh, my goodness. This goes back to the World Congress of Families in 2015. I can't remember the presenters. Dr. Mm-hmm. Grossman, mm-hmm. Miriam Grossman. And she was talking about studies of oxytocin flowing in the womb when mothers are speaking to the child or singing the father's voices and so forth. But she talked about an interesting distinction between the way women and men hold babies. Women tend to hold their babies close to their chest, facing
inward.
When you give a baby to a father, he typically starts to point the baby outward.
You're right.
Long before the mother really wants this to happen, he's throwing that baby in the air, and the baby's learning to risk, and the baby's learning to be a little bit scared, but always knowing that dad is right there. Fathers have a role in taking that child and preparing that child to go off and conquer. And to exceed, and to succeed, and to grow, and to progress.
To be a man.
Mothers want that too, but they typically want it to be safe. And fathers say, "Well, what's wrong? Well, I'm just throwing them 2 or 3 feet in the air. I'm giving them a chance to see what the world." It's a balance that has to exist, and it's beautiful, and it works.
And it's kind of this natural thing that we teach. I'll never forget the article I read where a woman's breast milk while the baby is an infant will actually change and adapt to if the baby has a sickness.
Absolutely.
The milk changes.
The colostrum increases. Yes.
The body knows exactly what's going on with that
connection.
Baby.
Yes. It's beautiful.
And it's very important.
And no one has that connection except the mom.
Yes. And so what are we doing? We're so busy putting on man pants that we can't even figure this out. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that the role is so phenomenal, so amazing, so biological,
so fulfilling,
self-fulfilling and so incredible that we take it, we dump it, and we want what somebody else has. Something that we probably naturally, instinctively, maybe a few would be, but that's something that's probably not going to be in our wheelhouse. It'd be like me trying to be an accountant.
Right.
It would never work.
I remember a story years ago, and this, you know, because we've seen some changes with attitude towards feminism with the younger generation. Mm-hmm. And there was a woman that had won like a Mother of the Year award. Mm-hmm. She had interviewers coming, reporters coming over. She was cleaning up the house. They arrive. She apologizes because her kids have made a mess and so forth.
Right.
After the interview, one of the interviewers left, and the other one, a lady as well, stayed behind and just said, "Can I talk to you?" Now, again, this isn't the case for everyone, and I recognize this, but this woman said to the mother, "I was told that I would be happy not having a family. I was told that I could be completely fulfilled. I'm now in my 50s, and I see what you have."
Right.
And she was in tears because someone along the way said, "There's a better way for human beings to be happy." And again, I realize everyone has to choose, and I'm not.
It's not broad brushstroke. It could never be.
In this case, this woman said, "I was not told the truth about what would bring happiness in my life."
Wow. You know, that's why when women are caught up in this idea of an abortion because they want to go to college or they want this life plan to happen. And I'm thinking, do you realize what miracle could be performed in your life by having that child? You're just saying that you don't even want to know if your life could be better with that child in it.
I have a strange interest, and it's one that I don't know where it came from, but I love to watch pregnancy announcement videos on YouTube.
Yeah, yeah.
When I hear the grandparents cry, or the husband, they've been waiting so long, just that excitement, it reminds me of all seven times with my own family. Yeah. And ultimately, the sanctity of life, when those little babies come into this world, what it does for everyone involved.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
It's powerful.
Women have a gift for nurturing all human relationships. And research has shown that women will often sacrifice an achievement for the sake of a relationship, but men will more likely sacrifice a relationship for the sake of an achievement, maybe career, you know, things like that. And so the relationships are the stuff of social, sort of this interpersonal mortar. And these other studies have showed how important female intuition is in these relationships. Wow. See, these are all of our kind of like our gifts that we have.
They are.
That we sort of bypass, and which is unfortunate. And, you know, porn is a huge, huge thing. And I know we only have a couple of minutes, but I want to speak to that for a moment because we have a huge porn problem in America right now. What is driving that?
Well, lots of money drives it for
sure. What is driving people to watch it?
There is an emptiness. There's a lack of understanding one's purpose. And it goes back to that level, that kind of the concept of virtue. Young women that get into the trade or the end of the business, typically not in every case, come from environments where they're looking for love in all the wrong places. A father's role is to hold his daughter's hand.
Right.
To take her on dates,
right.
To tell her she's beautiful so that she will not be manipulated. Girls do not want sex. Mm-hmm. They don't want physical relationships. They want emotional relationships.
Right.
But unfortunately, if the fathers and brothers, if the home environment does not provide that safe emotional intimacy that women and boys, you know, crave, but women right now, then they will look outside of the home. And typically the people they go to, the men they go to, will say, sure, I'll give you emotional intimacy, but you have to give me this. A good father would never ask for that.
Right.
And so that's so right off the bat. And then you've got young men.
So she's establishing these relationships without that, knowing she can have that. And so that's helping her mature into this.
Exactly. A dad holds a little girl's hand until he's ready to hand it to the man that will honor her as he has.
Right.
The same role that fathers play with young men, modeling for them. How to treat a woman, how to honor her, how to open the door for her, how to never ever say or do anything to defile a woman's virtue, her character, and so forth. We could get into the role of fathers. That's something we should do sometime because that is critical.
Yeah, we will talk about that in the next hour as well. So get it on podcast if you're not getting that hour. But it's interesting because women typically set the boundary. You know, if I find you of value, I will marry you and give my body to you and in marriage. And that's what kept the men kind of, you know, wanting
them.
That. Yes.
Yep.
Yes, and you can't bypass that. There's something about that mechanism of, you know, this is where I stand. This is what you would naturally probably want, but this will be sort of that way to maybe dial in and self-harness, you know, contain and you know, our natural, you know,
that sexual drive that men have, virtuous women help them channel it in the proper way.
Yes.
So that they use that energy to build a family and to build society and build civilization.
And then keep that guy around.
Exactly.
Right. And like you said, it's the mortar in the bricks. And we don't realize that we're taking the mortar out right now. And what will happen? Those bricks fall. The family falls. We have more confused kids. Kids don't know if they should be questioning their gender. They don't know what to do. Their roles are so confused now that we have a whole generation and crop of kids that are going to be raising children someday. And I'm a little afraid. I got to tell you the truth. I'm going to come right back with Rule Haman. I'm so happy you're with me. And teacher, educator, you name it. Amazing. We're going to be talking about this and we will take your calls as well. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com.